Today's shir is Masecht Makis Daf Chav Beis. We will begin on Daf Chav Aleph Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah in the previous shir that Yesh Chayrish Telem Echad, that somebody could be plowing one furrow in a field, for Chayiv Olam Mishum Shmoyin Lavin, and end up being Chayiv for 8 Lavin for that event. And what our Gemara now begins to do is that try to see that perhaps one could be over even more Malkus than just the 8 that were identified in the Mishnah. Amlai Ula Rav Nachman, and says Ula to Rav Nachman, V'lil kinami mishim zarei biyontif. As we learned in the Mishnah, the case where this story was happening was on Yontif, and therefore asked the Gemara, besides being chayiv for chayrish, for plowing on Yontif, why does the Mishnah not say that he's also chayiv for the malacha of planting on Yontif? So as the Mefarshim point out, why would this planting be considered a planting that's asur? We learned in the Mishnah that we're referring to a field that's klayim. And in a field that's klayim, the produce that grows is asur. You're not allowed to use it. And therefore, this planting is a makalkel. You're not accomplishing anything with this planting because you can't eat this produce. So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that even though we may not eat it, but Nochrim may eat it. And since Nochrim may eat this produce, it's not considered an act of makalkel. Another teretz is, as the Mishnah identified, we're referring to here a situation of Shemitah. When is there an Issa Klayim, that if somebody plants Klayim in his field, it becomes prohibited? That's only if it's his field. But if we're learning that we're referring to a Shemitah year, in a Shemitah year, it's not considered his field, and therefore there is no Isser. A third teretz, Mechitz Chinuch suggests, that the only time that something is considered Osir is if the act, says the Mechitz Chinuch, is a positive act. The act of Zriya is a Malacha. The fact that there may be Osir Bahanor because it's Klayim doesn't change that this is an act that's Osir, and therefore the Mishnah considers it, and therefore the Gemara asks, why is that not included in the list of Lavim of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Tana V'Shayer. The list that's mentioned in our Mishnah is not an exhaustive list. Amalei set Ula to him, Tanik Tani Shmoina, Vat Amre Tana V'Shayer. So he says as follows, if the Mishnah had not said a number, your answer would be a good answer. For then we could say that the Mishnah wasn't giving us a complete list. He says, however, in a situation where the Mishnah specifies a number, 8, what did the Mishnah mean to do when it specified a number? What the Mishnah meant to do when it specified a number, it meant to say specifically 8, no more, no less. So how could you say Tan of Ishayir? Therefore, says Rav, a different teretz. Yesh chilek malachas b'Shabbos, v'ein chilek malachas b'yontif. On Shabbos, there's a concept that if someone does all 39 malachas because he forgot each and every one of those malachas was a malacha, he would have to bring 39 carbon chatas. And as the Mefarshim point out, what the Gemara means to say is not that if he forgot that it's Shabbos. If somebody forgot that it's Shabbos, and because he forgot it's Shabbos, he did 39 malachas, the halacha is he would bring only one karmel chatas, because it all emanates from one mistake, that he forgot that it's Shabbos. Here we're referring to an individual who knows that it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know, he forgot that these are malachas, he's chayiv 39 malachas. 39. But that is a halacha strictly regarding Shabbos, not regarding any yontif. And therefore, since our Mishnah already mentioned that he's chayiv because of chayrish on Yontif, there is no point in mentioning also because of Zareya, he would not be chayiv separately for Charisha and for Zriya on Yontif. And as the Menches Chinuch and other Mefarshim help us understand the Gemara. The Gemara is now understanding that if somebody does two separate Averis, two distinct Averis, of course one Avera has nothing to do with the other Avera. For example, says the Menches Chinuch, if somebody ate Chalif and he also ate Dam, so there's certainly no connection between those two Averis, and he's Chayiv separate Karbonus or Malchus or whatever the case should not be for those two separate acts. But when it comes to Chil Shabbos or Chil Yontif, there the halacha is that it's all one category of Avera. He was Mechal Shabbos, he was Mechal Yontif, and therefore even if he did numerous Averis, he should only be Chayiv one Karban Chatas or one set of Malchus. Just the Torah goes out of its way by Shabbos to say that if he did these melachas separately, he's chayiv for each melacha separately. There are two, the machlokes tanoim, what is the source for this halacha? One opinion is because the Torah says, lo sevaru esh b'chomesh v'seichem v'yom Shabbos. And the question is, why is the melacha of Havara singled out from all other melachas? So there's an opinion of Tanoim, L'chalak Yotzes, to teach us this very din, that if somebody did all 39 melachas, he's chayiv 39 separate, they consider 39 separate acts. But that is a din set specifically regarding Shabbos, or another source for this, the Mepharshim say, is because the Torah says the Pasuk, V'osam me'achas mehena, and we learned me'achas mehena, the yechayiv for each one separately. But again, that is a din that was said regarding Karban Chatas. For Chil Yontif, there is no Karban Chatas. And therefore the Gemara is now saying that this is a din strictly on Shabbos, not on Yontif. And as the Mechas Chinuch goes on to explain, the Gemara in the Havamina assumed that since the concept of Melacha by Shabbos and the concept of Melacha by Yontif ought to be treated the same way, and if we have a concept of Chilek Melachas by Shabbos, there also ought to be a concept of Chilek Melachas by Yontif. However, the Gemara says that since, as we just learned, there are specific psukim that teach us this halacha by Shabbos that aren't psukim by Yontif, the din of Chilek Melachas is only a din by Shabbos and not a din by Yontif. So as what the Gemara will now do is continue trying to see if our Mishnah could have mentioned other Averis, the one transgressed in this act. Ask the Bai before we get to that, Vein Chilek Melachos B'Yontif, is this true that we don't separate Melachos B'Yontif? But Tanan, there's a Mishnah that says, Havashu Gid B'Chol B'Yontif. We all know that one may not eat the Gid Anasha. And the Mishnah in Masech Tichun discusses if somebody cooks Gidanasha on milk on Yontif, v'ochloi, and he eats it, loike chomish, he gets 5 malchus. Loike mishum oichel gid, he gets malchus for eating from the Gidanasha. V'loike mishum mvash b'yontif shloi l'tzorich, for cooking for Yontif without any purpose because it's a food that we may not eat. And as the Ritva points out, this Mishnah is following the opinion of Eishamai. Because we know that the Torah says that in Yontif we're allowed to do melachis the tzorich oichel nefesh. But Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel is of the opinion the mitoich shehotlu tzorich hotu nam shloi tzorich, that any melacha, even if one is not doing it with tzorich oichel nefesh, is mutter on Yontif with the concept of mitoich. Since it could have been mutter tzorich oichel nefesh, it's always mutter. Not to say that Beis Hillel says one may do that, just Beis Hillel will say there is no chi melacha. Beis Shammai does not subscribe to the concept of mitoich, and therefore our Mishnah here, who's saying that he cooked without any purpose, because obviously one wouldn't be allowed to eat the food, is following the opinion of Beis Shammai. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, v'loika mishum avashel gid b'cholav, it's considered that he's cooking meat and milk together, because we know the Torah says the din of loy savashel gid b'chalav imoy three times. And the Gemara says, Echad to teach us Issa Achila, one is Issa Hanoah, and one is Issa Bishul. There's a specific Isser to cook meat and milk together. So Gira Nash and Cholov are meat and milk together. And again, the Mefarshim point out that obviously this Mishnah is following the opinion of Yesh Begidin Benoise Tam, that the Gid has the ability to give taste. Otherwise, if, as we're going to learn Masechta Chulin, it's not that clear. Because if the halacha was that they don't give taste, then would be no Isser of Bishul Bas B'Cholov and Gira Nash. For Loiken, then, is the Isser of Oich Bas B'Cholov. After he cooked it, he ate it, there's the Isser of eating Bas B'Cholov. For Loiken, there's a Malkus Mishum Havara, for making a fire on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Im Isa, if what we just said is correct, that Ein Chilik Malachus Bin Yontif, then says the Gemara, Mishum Havara Loi Mechayiv. One would not be Chayiv for making this fire on Yontif. Doi Chayiv Loi Mishum Bishula. We already established that he's Chayiv for cooking. And Ein Chilik Malachus Bin Yontif says that you can't be Chayiv twice for doing a malacha on Yontif. So, how would we understand the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Apik Havara, V'ayel Gira Nosha Shel Nevela. Indeed, you have to take out the Issa Havara, because there is no point in mentioning Havara if we already mentioned Bishul, and it should be replaced with the Issa of Gira Nosha, that the Gira Nosha wasn't just the Gira Nosha, but it was a Gira Nosha of an animal which is Nevela, which of course one may not eat. Ask the Gemara, how can we understand the Mishnah that way? But Tan Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya taught a brisa that teaches the same din as this Mishnah, and the brisa summarizes like Ishtayim al Chilasai. Two of the Chiyuv Malkus that this Mishnah mentioned come from a Chiyuv Achila, Vishalish, and three of them come from the cooking of this food. Vim Isa, if the revised version is correct, then if we're going to categorize the five lavim, they're actually sholosh al chilasai, three are isurim based on eating, sholosh al chilasai chayiv, and two are for cooking. So how are we going to understand Rav Chiya's brisa if we amend the Mishnah as was suggested? Says the Gemara, al apik havara vayel etz asherah. Havara should be removed because ein chilik malachus b'yontif, but it should be replaced that he cooked this gira nosha in milk with the wood of an asherah tree. Vazarasim mahacha, and the iser of using anything from avodah zarah is based on the pasuk v'lo yidbak b'yotcha me'uma, that you're not allowed to have anything min acherim, you're not allowed to have any benefit from avodah zarah. Amalei Rav Achabarei the Ravel of Ashi. So he asks, if that's the case, that we're referring to a case where he used asherah wood, so it should be another lav mentioned in the Mishnah. The lav of Aluki Nami, Milashim Laisavi Seiva Abesecha, you're not allowed to bring Avodah Zarah into your home. Answers the Gemara, El Hochem Maiskinen, referring to a situation, Kagon Shabishlai Batse Hegdish, that he used Hegdish wood, Vazarasa Behocha, and the Yashara, that one may not use Hegdish wood for his own purpose, is because the Pasuk says, Vashre'em Tisrafun Be'esh, Loi Sasukain Lashem Elokeichem. Even though the Rambam points out that one may not use Hegdish wood for his own purpose, says the Rambam, that's only Hegdish wood that one would normally not use for firewood. But Hegdish wood that's designated for fire, for fuel, may be used, that this Issa wouldn't apply. Furthermore, I saw a tshuva for a Moshe that says that since our Gemara speaks so strongly about not using Hegdish wood or anything Hegdish for one's private use, he speaks about people who visit the Kaisel HaMaravi and want to take and chip off part of the stone from the Kaisel HaMaravi that they should have as a souvenir, that they should have as a shmira in their home. And Rav Moshe says, first of all, if everybody's going to chip off a little piece of the Kaisel HaMaravi, there won't be anything left from the Kaisel HaMaravi. But besides that issue, Rav Moshe says, our Gemara clearly teaches us that anything Hegdish must be treated with the greatest respect and not used for one's own private purpose, and therefore he takes a very, very serious position about somebody who acts that way. Says the Gemara, Simin Shenvoi Shenvov. As I said earlier, since our Mishnah is looking to identify the maximum amount of Chiyuvei Malkus one can be over in such a circumstance that was described in our Mishnah, so as the Gemara, we could have mentioned some other Yisurim. Mask of La Ravoshia. V'lach Shev Nami has a Reya B'Nachal Esim. The Torah teaches us that if one finds a corpse between two cities, and we don't know which city is from which city the murderer came, so the Torah goes through the whole parasha of a nachla egla rufa, where the Torah tells us that we have to decapitate the head of an egla. But nachal eson, nachal eson means a city, a place that is hard soil, and the Gemara and the Torah says regarding such a place where the egla rufa procedure was conducted, ashlo yovid bavli zera, that may not be worked on, may not be plowed nor planted. So why do we say that this field was the Nachal Eson? Asked the Mefarshim, didn't we just define a Nachal Eson as a place of hard soil which can't be easily planted? So how could the Gemara say that Amish is speaking that he planted in a Nachal Eson? You can't plant in a Nachal Eson. So Farshim answer that even though it's not easily planted, but of course if one attempted and put in effort, he could plant in a Nachal Eson, and therefore the Gemara's question stands. Ask the Gemara another question. Maskula Rav Chananya, V'lach Shev Nami, Hamoichik is Hashem Ba'li Chosoi, that somebody as he was going to plow, erased Hashem's name. V'azeros Mahacha, and we know he raised Hashem's name with the plow, and we know that that is, of course, a very serious issur. Could the pasuk says, "Vivatim Hashemom," the name of Avodah Zarah should be eradicated? Loisasun kain l'Hashem l'keichem. Ask the Gemara another question. Maskel Rav Avuah, v'lach shenami akoytzes es hartoi. The halach is that if somebody has a tzaras, there's an issur to remove that tzaras. V'azaros mahocha, could the pasuk says, "Hishomer b'negat tzaras." And as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, whenever the Torah uses the word Hishomer, it represents a lav. So why isn't this included as one of the lavim taking off the negat tzaras? And that here, with the plow, he removed the negat tzaras, and that should be included as one of the lavim of the Mishnah. Maskel of Abaya. Ask Abaya a different question. V'lach Shev Nami ha-meziach ha-choshin. We know amongst the big day kahuna that the Kohen Gadol wore were the Choshen and the Eifed, and the Torah, and the Gemara is going to identify the Pasuk in a moment, says that one may not separate the Choshen from the Eifed. And there's another Issa of HaMeser Badei Oren, that one may not remove the poles of the Oren. The basis for these Isurim are the Pasuk of Lo Yisuru and Lo Yizuk Achoshin. Why these lavim not mentioned as part of what could have happened in the story of the Mishnah? Now there's a machlokes rishayin in what the Gemara means here. Ritva says that the Gemara means in this question that the person who was plowing the field was the Kohen Gadol, and he separated the Choshin from the Eifed, and he removed the poles of the Aron HaKodesh and plowed with them. Even though, as the according to the Ritva's understanding, the act of removing the Choshen from the Eifed, the act of removing the Badim from the Aron, occurred prior to his actual plowing, since he continues being over those lavim, we discussed this concept in the previous year, as he's doing it, that would be considered that he's doing all of these lavim simultaneously. Daruch Lener doesn't agree. He says that that wouldn't be considered that he did all the lavim at the same time. And therefore the Aruch Lener says that's referring to a situation where he, as he was plowing, as the Kohen Gadol was plowing, he brushed against the plow, and he therefore, by brushing against, having the plow brush against the Choshen Eifed, they were separated and dislocated the Badim from the Oren. Continues the Gemara. Maskula Rav Ashi, V'lach Shev Nami HaChoyrish Ba'atzei Hashera. What does the Mishnah mention that he used for plow Ashtei Hashera wood? And as we learned earlier, that you can't use that wood for these purposes. Maskla Ravina asks Ravina a different question. That you're not allowed to cut down a good fruit tree. And he, why don't we say they cut down such a tree? That's a Ras Mahacha. Kimenes Soichel Voiselois Sichras. Omle Rav Zeril Rabmani. Vilach Shivnami, why does the Mishnah not also mention that somebody made a shvu that he's not going to plow on Yontif, and now by plowing on Yontif, the case of our Mishnah, he's being over that shvu? Answers the Gemara, this last question is not a question. Because Hasam like a chol shvu, that shvu is not an effective shvu. Why? Since he's already previously prohibited from plowing on Yontif, because the Torah says one may not do that malacha on Yontif, a shvua won't be chal. A shvua is not chal on something that he's already obligated in any way. And actually, the Mefarshim want to point out that perhaps this should be a halacha strictly regarding shvua. Maybe the halacha of Nedarim is different. So instead of suggesting that our Mishnah is referring to Shvua, why doesn't the Gemara say we're talking about Nedarim that may have different rules? Say many Mefarshim from here, it seems, and we have to recall the Rasugis of Masechta Nedarim, that perhaps Nedarim and Shvuas actually have the same din. Amalei, so in answer to this question, says the Gemara, that there is a way for the Shvua to be an effective Shvua. Kugoyin Damar, it's referring to a situation where the person made a shvuah, shvuah shloi echrish, bein b'chol, a bein b'yontif. They made a shvuah that he won't plow both on during the week and on yontif. The migi the chalalei shvuah b'chol, since the shvuah for during the week days is an effective shvuah, chalalei namah b'yontif. So now the Gemara is back to its question. If we're looking to identify more lavim, that one was over, we should have this shvua, which, as we just described, is an effective shvua, because since it's effective for during the week, it also becomes effective for yontif, and therefore, if somebody did this act, he was over this shvua. Answers the Gemara, mida de isa b'sheila like tani. Our Mishnah only speaks about averis that one can't have annulled. Since we know that halach is that one can have a shvua annulled, therefore, it's not included in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'loy, v'rei hegdish. Let's think about it. The Mishnah described that the animal was hegdish. But hegdish, how has something become hegdish? Because somebody is magdish it. Somebody is magdish it. So again, we're referring to a situation that it's isa b'sheila. Answers the Gemara, the hegdish that our Mishnah is referring to is a b'char. What kind of hegdish could be annulled? A hegdish that's a man-made hegdish. But here we're talking about a hegdish that was made in a shemayim. A b'char is obviously born hegdish. That's not isa b'sheila. But ask the Gemara, another one of the cases of the Mishnah was a nazir. And a nazir is based on a nether, where one accepts upon himself that he's going to be a nazir. And if he could have that annulled. And we're saying now that anything that could be annulled is not included in the Mishnah. So how is Nazir included in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, it's referring to a Nazir Shimshon. We know that the Malach told Shimshon's parents that their child who will be born Shimshon will be a Nazir. And that's the type of Nazir that we're referring to. Such a Naziris cannot be annulled. There's a machlokes mefarshim how to understand what the Gemara means in the Havamina that our Mishnah is referring to a Nazir Shimshon. Some say that it's talking about the similar situation where someone was told by a Malach that he or that his child should be a Nazir. Of course, it's a difficult pshat, because to say that our Mishnah is referring to such a extraordinary situation where somebody was told that he's going to be that he or his child should be a Nazir is hard to understand. And therefore the Mefarshim explained, the Marit discusses this, and he says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that one, the Gemara is saying that perhaps our Mishnah is referring to a situation that one accepted upon himself a Nazira Shimshon. Ask the Gemara, Nazira Shimshon by Tamei L'Meisim Hu. Although a Nazir Shimshon comes with some very strict characteristic. Most notably, a Nazir Shimshon is a Nazir for his entire life. But in Nazir Shimshin, unlike all other Nazirim who may never become Tamei, a Nazir Shimshin may become Tamei. So ask the Gemara, if we're saying that our Mishnah is referring to a Nazir Shimshin, so why is it the problem that he walked into a cemetery? A Nazir Shimshin is allowed to become Tamei. Ella, says the Gemara, Hai Tana Issa Kailo Leslei. Our Tana must be of the opinion that if somebody says a Shvua, even if he said a Shvua, that he won't do Melach Ayrisha, Bein Bechol, Bein Beyontif, the Shvua is not Chal for Yontif. Because Yontif, it's Asr anyway. So, therefore, the Isser of Shvua is not one of the Isurim mentioned in our Mishnah, but the other Isurim, point out the Rishonim, the Gemara hasn't answered why are they not included in the case of the Mishnah. So the Rishonim answer that we apply the concept of Tana V'Shayer. Ask the Rishonim, but the Gemara in its introductory remarks in explaining this sugya said that in our Mishnah we can't use the concept of Tana V'Shayer because the Mishnah used a specific number of 8. Answer the Rishonim. Where don't we say Tana V'Shayer, even when the Mishnah mentions a specific number? We don't say Tana V'Shayer, they say, in the cases that the Mishnah mentioned. That means, if the Mishnah mentioned a number of rules, so those rules have to be completely exhausted. But all the cases, all the lavim that our Gemara now wanted to identify, are lavim that there's no mention of those concepts and our Mishnah. There we could perhaps still apply the concept of Tana V'Shayer. Our Mishnah spoke about, briefly, the issue of Klayim, of working with two different species of animal. The Mishnah spoke about an ox and a donkey. So the Gemara expands for a moment on this concept of Klayim. We know that if one is Magdish a Behema for a carbon, and then that animal becomes a balmum, it becomes disqualified. The halachic terminology for such an animal is that it's psulei hamigdoshim, says our Gemara. And the halach with that animal is that even though obviously it can no longer be used as a carbon, it still has to be treated with a certain level of kedusha. What do I mean? It can't be used for working, the wool can't be sheared. And therefore, says Rav Oshia, Hamabia Sharp Sulei Magdashim, like Ishnaim. If somebody takes this animal and mates it with another animal, even though that other animal is the exact same species, he gets two malchus. One malchus is obvious, because using such an animal, which we just said is Sulei Magdashim, for breeding purposes, is awesome. But then the Gemara is saying, Rav Oshia is saying, there's another Isser here. And that is the Isser of Klayim. Why? Because since, as we just explained, this animal is a unique animal. It's a Psulei HaMekdoshim animal that has to be treated with certain specific rules. Such an animal is considered a unique species and would be considered Klayim with any other animal, even animals that come from the same family. That's how Rashi, the Rivon, explained the Gemara. It's a very hard explanation, Tosus. It's a hard explanation to understand, says Tosus, because the animal is an animal. It's the exact same species. The fact that it carries with it that it's under the category of Psulei Magdashim doesn't change that it's an ox or a cow or wherever it is. And Tosus therefore says that this is a Gzeiras HaKosef. It's not to be understood logically that it's in some sort of a different, physically different animal. It's a Gzeiras HaKosef that it's considered a new type of animal. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, if we're going to take this line of reasoning, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Hamanik b'shop Sulei Magdashim, if somebody works with such an animal, even if he didn't breed it together with another animal, perhaps he should be like, he should get two sets of malchus. Shrei guf echadhu, v'asa kos b'shnei gufim. Certainly he'll get malchus, as we said a moment ago, for using such an animal. That's obvious. But Rabbi Yitzchak is suggesting that if we're considering this one animal to be a combination of two animals, and has in it the element that it's Kodesh, because it was once Hegdish, and has in the element in it an element that it's not Kodesh because it became Psulei HaMikdashim, that should be considered a mixture in its very self, and therefore it should be considered you worked with Klayim if you work with such an animal. As we begin to end our Masechta, where we spent so much time discussing Chiyuvei Malkus, our Mishnah now starts to discuss exactly how was the Malkus administered, how many Malkus were given. And says the Mishnah, Kama Malkun Isai. How many Malkus? Or somebody, Rahman Slan, as Mechuyev Malkus, how many Malkus does he receive? Says the Mishnah, Abom Chasa Achas, 39. Shnemar B'mispur Abom. Minyan Shu Somach Laboim, a number that's close to 39, but not exactly, a number close to 40, but not exactly 40, 39. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Abom Shleimus Uloike. He gets full 40 Malkus. V'heichun Uloikus Yisera. Because as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, the Malkus were divided in groups of three. Two were given in the front of the body. One was given in the front of the body, on the chest, and two on the back. But he doesn't have a number that's divisible by three, because he says that you get 40 Malkus. So, where is that 40 Malkus given? Says the Gemara, that 40th Malkus is given, bank safe of, on the back between the shoulders. The Mefarshim go to great lengths to try to understand from where the number 39 comes. Why is the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, according to Rabbanan, so anxious to have that the number be 39, not 40? So, the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that since a person becomes Chayiv and Malkus when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, which is 13, and 13 times 3 equals 39, we want a number that's divisible by 13. Others explain the pasuk that speaks about Malkus uses the words v'niklo achicha lo'inecha, and the gematria of the word achicha is 39. The Maral takes a different approach. The Maral approach is that we know that the Gemara in Masech de Yuma teaches us that a child, a fetus, is only considered having been a fetus when it becomes 40 days old. He says, what does that represent? He says, the first 39 days of the child's development, there's only the gashmius. The neshama comes into the child on the 40th day of its development. What causes a person to do an aveira? The fact that he is gashmius, which is represented by the 39 days of his development. Another pshat that the Chassam Sofer explains is because we know that the Torah was given in 40 days, and therefore, if a person were to follow those full 40 days, he wouldn't come to do Zaveiris, only because he didn't remember those 40 days if he comes to make this mistake. Other, the Kli Yakar takes approach. We know the Gemara says Abom Labina, when one becomes 40 years old, he becomes intelligent to understand what's right and what's wrong. He didn't use his intelligence. He didn't come to what 40 represents, and therefore at 39 is when he should get the Malkus. The Rambam, however, has a very different approach to this rule. The Rambam says that there's no machloikus really between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. The Torah uses the number 40. The Torah means 40. Rather, says the Rambam, this is all a drabonon. Interesting Rambam. It's all a drabonon, where the Rabbanon were concerned that a person, if he's going to get 40 Malkus, if he's going supposed to be assessed to get 40 Malkus, they may end up giving him 41 Malkus, which is not permitted and could cause him, chas v'shalom, to die. So Chazal went and said, give him only 39. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, the Michas Chinuch discusses, according to the opinion of the Rambam, how could the Chacham go and say that the Torah says give him 40 Malkus and Rabbanan say give him only 39? And therefore, the Rambam the Michas Chinuch explains that we see the Torah itself was concerned that one should not give this person more malchus than he deserves. The Torah says, "Arbaim yakena lo Yosef." Don't give him more than he's supposed to. So since we see that the Torah itself was concerned that this person shouldn't get more malchus, the Rabbanan, following that lead, went and said, don't give him 40, give him only 39. But point out the Achroinim, that according to the opinion of the Rambam actually holds that he's supposed to get 40. There will be two nafkaminas lahalocha. One nafkamina, the Ratva says, is that we know that the halach is that if the shliach bezdin gives malchus that gives him malchus more than he was supposed to get, and he dies, the question is, does he go to galus or not? So according to the Rambam, says the Ratvaz, if he'll give 40 malchus and he will die, he won't go to malchus because he was really supposed to get the 40, and the Shliach Bezdin was just doing what he was supposed to do. Another Nafkamina that Achroinim say, according to the Rambam, interesting Nafkamina, is that just like we're saying that according to the Rambam, Midaraisa one is supposed to get 40 Malkus. It's just Chazal were concerned, don't give him too many, and that's why they cut off one. So says the Pirus Yosef, what would be the halacha if somebody was assessed to get 39 malchus? He could take 39 malchus. Could be that the Rambam will hold that we shouldn't give him the last malchus, because we always want to take off one from the top out of concern that that one may be something that he can't absorb. We have to assess if he could absorb and how many malchus he could absorb. In fact, the Rambam says this is a raya that the Sanhedrin, members of the Sanhedrin, had to be expert in the field of medicine, so that they themselves should be able to make the evaluation if this person could accept these malchus. Furthermore, Rav Chaim Brisker has a very interesting question that we'll pose as, and now we'll try to see an answer to this question as we learn our sugyas. He asks, what does it mean that the Gemara teaches us, that we make evaluation if he could take 39 malchus, and if he can't, we give him what he could take? Does that mean that really he's chayv 39? Just the Torah teaches us, Chazal teach us, that if he can't take all 39, we give him what he could get, what he could take? Or is pshat that this person was never told, the chiv was never a chiv of 39 malchus? Rather, the chiv was what he could take. And if he could take, let's say, only 18, then the Torah says he's only supposed to get 18, not 39 that we're reducing to 18. So again, says the Mishnah, when we make this evaluation, the number that he's supposed to get is supposed to be a number that's divisible by 3. Amdu l'kabel abon. Let's say we made an evaluation that he could take all 39. V'loka mixis. And he started getting the malchus. V'amdu she'eni yochel kabel abon. But then we see that he can't take it. Potter, we stop and we don't continue ever. On the other hand, amdu l'kabel shmanesrei. We evaluated him that he could take 18. U'mishalaka, but while we're giving him the malchus, we see that he can actually take 40. The halacha is that he's potter. We don't change the original assessment. We started with 18. We stick to the 18. So again, the Gemara begins that it seems that the Torah teaches us that he's supposed to get 40 malchus. Yet our Mishnah says that number is 39. So ask the Gemara, my Tama, what do we do with the pasuk that says that he's supposed to get 40? Answers the Gemara. Iksiv abon b'mispar. If the Torah were to use the words abon b'mispar, havimina abon b'minyana, we would indeed say that it means 40. But hash the diksiv. Now that the Torah says b'mispar abon, what does the Torah mean? Minyan shu soichim es abon. The Torah means a number which, after you count this number, you'll reach the number 40, which is what? 39. Says Rava, on learning this Gemara, Kama t'pshoi shari inshi, how foolish are people the kaimim sefer Torah, they get up in front of a sefer Torah, the kaimim megaver rabba, and they don't get up for a great person. Dilu b'sefer Torah k'siv, the Torah says abon, that you're supposed to give 40. V'as rabbanon, and rabbanon went batzuchada, and they took down 1 to 39. So of course there are many questions in understanding this Gemara. The first question is that why are these people called tipshoi? Why are they called fools? They're rishon. The Torah says you have to respect Talmid Chachamim, and they're not doing what the Torah says. So the Yarish Tavash says that the halacha really is that if one is at a job, he's not allowed to interrupt the middle of his job to get up for Sefer Torah, to get up for Talmud Chachim. His time is obligated to his employer. Here we have an individual who gets up for Sefer Torah while he's working because of his great respect for Sefer Torah, but he doesn't get up for a Talmud Chacham. Another pshat is that the Teres Yeshua suggests that a person, people have the tendency, they start showing respect for Talmid Chachamim only after the Talmud Chacham passes away. And that's what the Gemara says, that they don't realize that the Talmud Chacham, while he's alive, is of great need to Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Gemara calls them Tipshoi. Another pshat is the Gemara is specifically using this example where we learn the importance of Kavod Talmud Chacham, because here we find that what did these Talmid Chacham accomplish? That the Torah says we should give 40 Malkus, and the Chacham went and they took that number down to 39. That's what the Gemara says that's the Talmud Chacham that one should show respect to. The Talmud Chacham who's able to teach Klal Yisrael a heter, a kula, is the Talmud Chacham that deserves great respect. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has an approach to this Gemara. His approach to this Gemara is that people look at Talmid Chachamim like they look at a Sefer Torah, that it's a document or a person that has a lot of knowledge of Torah. But that's not all what a Talmud Chacham is. A Talmud Chacham is supposed to be a source for a person to learn Yerushalayim, for a source how to learn how one is supposed to act. And people say that's what the Gemara means, that people don't realize that aspect of a Talmud Chacham. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Divrei Shmuel is what makes a Talmud Chacham greater than a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is written on the leather, on the skin of an animal, and a Talmud Chacham has his Torah written on his heart, and there's nothing holier than a Jewish heart. Mufarshim ask that the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin that how do we know that one is supposed to get up in front of a Sefer Torah? Because if one has to get up before somebody who learns Torah, and certainly one has to get up for the Talmud Chacham itself, for the Sefer Torah itself. But here our Gemara, on the other hand, is teaching us that a Talmud Chacham, the obligation to stand up for Talmud Chacham is greater than for the obligation to standing up for Sefer Torah. So how does that Kal V'chomer work? So the Mefarshim answer that the Gemara there is referring to people of who are meratzim, who are mevazah Talmid Chachamim, our Gemara is referring to. That is unacceptable. Of course, a Sefer Torah itself may be greater than Talmud Chacham. Even though I saw that the Drisha and the Shaul Sechuvus Riva discuss what would be the halacha, Rachman al Slan, if somebody's walking in shul, a Talmud Chacham is walking in shul, and he Rachman Slan trips as he's holding the Sefer Torah, and he and the Sefer Torah fall, who should be picked up first? And it's really relevant to this Gemara. It could well be that you should pick up the Talmud Chacham first. Similar question, I saw Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, what would be the halacha, he says, where money was collected to buy a Sefer Torah for a shul, for a community, but that community also doesn't have a Rav. If our Gemara is teaching us the great respect that one has to show Talmid Chachamim, perhaps he suggests we should spend the money on getting a rav and afterwards getting a sefer Torah. And he indeed says that perhaps so is the din, that if that community doesn't have a rav, they should rather use those funds to hire a rav. Then he says, anyway, he says, if it'll be a good rav, he will be a person that will, he will be able to inspire the community to buy the sefer Torah that they need to have. Rabbi Yehuda, however, we learned in the Mishnah, disagrees, and he says that we give Abayim Shleimus. We give 40 Malkus. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, my time, Rabbi Yehuda. The Ksiv, Ma'a Malkus Eilu Ben Yedecha, V'Hashem, Shehikisa Beis Ma'avai. This is, the Navi Sheker will be asked, what are these Malkus that he gets between his shoulders? And he's going to say that this was Malkus that he got for his Averis. Why does he have an extra Malkus between his shoulders? Because the 39 Malkus are given in the different places that our Mishnah says, the next Mishnah we're going to learn says the Malkus is given, and the 40th Malkus is given between the shoulders. The Rabbanon who disagree and say that we give only 39, how will they explain that Pasuk? And it's the Gemara, who be tenokish of Beis Rav Mudiksev. That Pasuk is talking about yeshiva students, and the Pasuk is teaching us that we have to properly assess that that's where we should give the Malkus to yeshiva students. And in fact, the Mefarshim say the limit of the Pasuk is that if we're hitting our students, we have to do it with great thought and care. Where is the right place and the best place and the best time to give the Malkus? And then and only then do we have a right to hit a child. We learned in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if he was given part of the Malkus that he was assessed to give before it was reevaluated, or up or down, we don't make a difference. We give him those Malkus and anymore. Says the Mishnah, lock in. Only if we started giving the Malkus do these dinim apply. But loy lock, if we didn't give him yet the Malkus, loy, then he's not potter. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, however we learned, in a brisa, Amdul Kabbal Aboim, they made an assessment that he could take the full set of Malkus. The Chazra Amish and Yochel Kabbal Aboim, and then they said that he can't potter. Or Amdul Kabbal Shemon Esrei, if they said that he could take 18, the Chazra Amdush Yochel Kabbal Aboim, and then they said he could take all 39 potter. Unlike our Mishnah, the brisa doesn't make a difference if he was already given the Malkus or not. We follow the new assessment, even though he didn't already receive the Malkus. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Sheish, Loikasha. Hodam Dulu Yomi. The many Pshat in the Gemara, this is the Pshat of the Rivon. If on the same day that he made, the first assessment was made, we make a new assessment, so we don't assume that really anything changed. So therefore the halacha is as follows. If we already gave him the Malkus, so whatever he got, then we don't give Malkus again. But if we didn't yet give Malkus, we could safely assume that the first assessment was incorrect, and we follow the second assessment. However, if the second assessment was done on a different day, there we have to be concerned that the person's physical situation sort of changed, and therefore, both assessments are considered valid assessment. So therefore, in the Bryce's first case, where he was first assessed that he could take 40 Malkus, and then he was reassessed for less, we don't give him more Malkus in any case. The first assessment can't be followed, because we can't accept that assessment. He can't take 40. But since he was sentenced to receive Malkus according to that assessment, and that we can't do, we don't make any new assessment and we don't give him anything. In the Bryce's second case, where he was first assessed for 18 Malkus and then reassessed for the whole 39, they will only give him the original lower assessment at 18, because we can't assume that that assessment was completely invalidated. We only have to be concerned that his physical situation changed, and therefore the first assessment is considered a valid assessment and the original assessment that we should follow. And in such a case, he'll only get the 18 Malkus, which is the lower assessment.